From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tomorrow and tonight, the spiritual meaning of the 60s. Here's what's happening. A story we have for you up in the highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com. Astronomers have revealed details of mysterious signals emanating from a distant galaxy picked up by a telescope in Canada. Now, the precise nature origin of the blasts of radio waves not known among the 13 fast radio bursts known as FRBs was a very unusual repeating signal coming from the same source about 1.5 billion light years away. Go read that story. It could be alien in nature. Well, the Food and Drug Administration says that Bowers Candies chocolate or caramel purchased after November 14th should be thrown away because of a worker in the facility testing positive for hepatitis A. Just remember that. Border authorities are referring 50 people a day for urgent medical care, including tuberculosis, flu, and even pregnant women about to give birth, according to a top official saying it's unlike anything they've ever seen before. Most of those in need of care are children, and a staggering 28% are under the age of five. Dr. Gary Ridenour with us, our expert on pandemics. Gary, what's causing this situation? Do we know?
Which situation do you want to talk to first?
Tuberculosis, the flu, infections.
Well, tuberculosis was identified in 1855. And for an example, in the 1950s, there were 85,000 cases per year. We're down to 10,000 cases per year. But a recent study has just shown that the cases have jumped up the first time since 1995. And it's in low socioeconomic groups, HIV-positive people, and drug addicts. A lot of the people that have it are not native-born Americans, with Mexicans being the leading group having tuberculosis at this time.
Now, can they obviously pass that on if they come across the border?
Oh, yes, that would be the big fear about how many people that are over the border there that are carrying tuberculosis that would come over. And it's spread by cough, so you just have to inhale the air, and there's a good chance you can get it into you. HIV patients last year, 300,000 died, and for regular patients, we had 10 million cases with 3.5 million people dying last year.
All right, thanks. Dr. Gary Ridenour. Is giving food to homeless people a crime? The question could be decided in federal court now that a Missouri pastor is suing the city of St. Louis after he was ticketed for providing nourishment to those in need. According to the Riverfront Times, the Reverend Ray Redlich regularly hands out sandwiches as they travel through the city to pray with others and distribute Christian literature. But on October 31st, he was surrounded by four police cars along with officers on bikes who issued a court summons for illegally feeding the homeless. Wow, that makes no sense. A lengthy partial government shutdown that began on December 22nd could have a negative effect on the U.S. economy, according to the Federal Reserve. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock on this situation. This can't go on much longer, Michael.
I don't think it can, George. I agree with you here. I think if it goes on too much further, I think that they're going to send something to Trump. If he vetoes it, I think Congress will override his veto. I think that's where we're coming. Now, Trump has also threatened to just move on and build this wall on his own accord. I don't believe that's constitutional, George. There will certainly be a congressional challenge to that. Meanwhile, we've got some other things that are kind of interesting. I'm looking at the Eurozone. German industrial production fell 1.9% last month. In November, actually, that's the latest stat we have. French industrial production fell 1.3%. Both were expected to rise. We've got a slowdown in China. Trump desperately needs a deal with China. I don't think it's going to be much better than what we already have, but if we don't get a deal out of this, it's going to be immediate global recession, in my opinion.
And he's canceled some meetings because of the entire situation. Like you said, Mish, we got to get this thing straightened out.
We do. I don't even know if you heard about this in Joshua Tree National Park. So sad. People went in there and chopped down trees, so they shut down the whole park, you know, in response to this. This is just madness, George. It infuriates me.
All right, my friend. Up next, our astrologer, Mark Lerner, joins us as we talk about how he sees the year ahead on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our special guest for the next couple hours, Mark Lerner. Mark began his astrological studies in New York City back in June of 72. Mark's Earth Aquarius News website represents a merging of astrological wisdom and late-breaking reporting, and he is with us now on Coast to Coast. Welcome back, Mr. Lerner. How are you, sir?
Oh, thank you, George. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
All right, so what do the planets look like for the next few months?
By the way, we now have a new website, Great Bear Enterprises.
Okay, I love it. We'll link that up for you.
Yeah, I think it's up there. So I've got a lot to offer to the listeners, and I've got actually a couple of things I'd like to put out there. As I call them observations rather than prognostications, but do you want me to bring up any of them at the beginning here?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, well... And these we can just go back and forth on if you're interested. There's the total lunar eclipse. Everybody's been sort of tuning into it. It's on January 21st. That's only 11 days from now. And they're calling it the blood or wolf full moon because it's at perigee, where the moon is closest to the Earth, and it's very powerful. Well, I've just put up a story on Great Bear Enterprises in our what's called Astroflash, because this whole thing about the national emergency, this is actually... from a cosmic standpoint, the near-term national emergency, because it's extremely powerful, and people often can't handle total lunar eclipses. In fact, the president is born exactly at a total lunar eclipse, which is very interesting, back in 1946. So I sort of talk about that in this particular article about how we really need to all get together, kind of more brotherhood, sisterhood, and supporting everybody, because there's a lot of, shall we say, lunacy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Well, you know, and particularly during any full moon, any kind, but this one's a real powerhouse. Now, a couple other things, real brief, and I think you'll find these pretty interesting. I think one of the most important persons in 2019 will be Chief Justice John Roberts. Because of what's happened back in when Nixon had to hand over the tapes and when Clinton couldn't get what he wanted, we now have the John Roberts Supreme Court, and of course John Roberts and the president have already clashed. And I do believe that, this is just my opinion, that one time, I'm not saying many times, but in one ruling, the Supreme Court under Roberts, kind of when, you know, Board of Education kind of deal, where they all have to group together to say something as the third part of the government. And I do believe that in the spring into the summer, John Roberts, whose birth chart we know, I mean, we don't know his time, but he is a sun sign Aquarius. He has a very powerful chart, will become a big player with what we might call the constitutional crisis. And also the United States birth chart that most astrologers use for July 4th, 1776, when we explode our fireworks, there's a big, what we call a progress cycle that very few people might be focused on, that also is supporting the idea of this long-expected constitutional crisis. There are a couple other things. One other thing about President Trump, he's at the end of a long astrology cycle of 30 years. So this is part of the reason why he's feeling a lot of gloom and worry and stress. And that kind of trough of that wave hits this summer. So I think what we're seeing now is kind of alarming things. He's normally the supreme, you know, optimist, winning everything, you know, is going to be huge and great.
Yeah,
and
he's not feeling that right now, is he?
He's not feeling that way because astrologically there are these forces, and we do know his birth time, whereas a lot of other presidents, we didn't know their times of birth. We didn't know for sure Hillary Clinton's time, whether she was morning or night, and Donald Trump, his birth time has been known for like decades, and we have an exact time for him. The one other thing to bring up in this context is the next presidential inauguration, which is only 2 years away now.
That's it. I know. It's crazy how fast things are going, isn't it?
There's an enormous amount of stress. We've talked before on the program here about what is called the void moon. Void moons happen every couple of days with the moon, and often those are not necessarily enormously significant. It's a couple of hours at most a day when the moon is sort of at the tail end of a sign. But when it happens at a presidential inauguration, which doesn't happen all the time, then the presidency itself and what happens in the 4 years thereafter is very controversial and very difficult. And at the next one, we not only have a void moon, but we also have Mars and Uranus together in the sky and several other, shall we say, contentious alignments. So I think the people running, all those Democrats and whoever, whether it's Trump or Pence or both of them again, you have to ask the question, who really wants to be president during the next 4 years?
You always wonder that, especially, you know, if you've made so much money in your life, why go through the aggravation and the grief, huh? Unless it's just ego and power. Who knows?
Well, and it's interesting because speaking to you, where I know you're a strong Gemini influence, and I see you as, and you know, from your book and all your work and on TV, you know, which where Gemini can be very enlightening as the first air sign. The president is a Gemini sun. The vice president has the sun and moon in Gemini. But if and when Gemini is not necessarily cranked up to its optimum, then the idea like that you have broached in your work, particularly as a light worker, it's not. Unfortunately, I don't see the presidency and the vice presidency as kind of universally accepted. Let's put it this way. I mean, there's a strong, they made it, you know, they won the election. But increasingly, rather than everybody gathering together, we're not seeing that. We're seeing more of a division. And that's the shadow side of Gemini when there's these sort of separate forces in the country and they can't come together.
For the rest of this hour, Mark, and when we come back after the break, I'm going to be asking you about some current events, and I want you to tell us astrologically what you think about them.
Yeah.
Next hour, we'll take phone calls, and Mark is willing to do a quick reading about yourself, and we'll need your month, day, and year when you talk to Donna, who is sitting in for Tom tonight. The government shutdown.
Yeah.
Do you see that astrologically going on much longer than it has been?
Well, you know, I was born in Queens, New York, 4 years after the president of the United States. I know kind of how weird and unusual New York City is.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there the first 25 years of my life. And I was literally born in the same borough that he was born in, not too far away from where he lived. So, you know, the whole New York City kind of reality and how people live their lives is so different from the rest of the country that all I'm saying is what I see when I hear the president talking about, like, this is a national emergency and all these different things. It was, for instance, in October. Remember the whole thing about the migrants and, like, oh, my God.
That's right.
You know? Okay. And then, of course, the election happened. And then we didn't hear about it until, of course, the Democrats needed to take power because they had won in the House. And as soon as that happened, this whole thing got ratcheted up again. So, you know, the president is a kind of master through The Apprentice and being on TV. He has such a skill set. That's why he won against all those other Republicans. They were like bowling pins, and he just knocked them all over.
Oh, he did, sure. And he told people the right thing.
Well, who didn't know who Donald Trump was? I mean, he had like 100% name recognition. And if you thought about Lindsey Graham at that point, it was like 1%, 3%.
Yeah.
So the thing is, everyone knew who he was. And, of course, the Congress had just been at 9% or 13%. And all the scandals, like, as an example, I mean, to answer your question partly, when Nixon had to resign and that whole situation, I've studied this for 40 to 50 years now, ever since I was almost a little kid and President Kennedy.
You were almost born into this.
Right. I mean, the assassination of the president, I was 13, so many other things in the 60s when I was a teenager. The way I look at the presidency, because I've studied this both historically as well as through astrology and metaphysics, is that The country is guided by spirituality. Let me put it this way. I want to be really clear to everybody out there. I believe it's kind of a Taoist belief, Native American, we might call it pantheistic, but everything is alive, and I do believe that the country is guided through angelic, divine sources. Now, it doesn't mean that they, whatever they may be, teachers, masters, God, whatever you want to call it, spiritual presences, can keep intervening. Remember, President Kennedy at the end of his inauguration said, but here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. Individuals have to take responsibility. We're not here to just listen to, you know, some outside force and do, you know, be automatons. So I believe that what's happening here is this is a vast lesson of just like Nixon took the fall, so to speak, for all the other abuse of all the presidents, we now have the kind of a very authoritarian type individual. President Trump has Leo rising. He's got a lot of Leo. He's born out of total lunar eclipse. He's got Jupiter, the largest planet, not moving. And there are many other things in his chart where we all know. I mean, he says it. He just communicates it about winning, about things that are big, that things that are huge, because he has almost like a Mount Olympian kind of view of everything, including his own abilities. So he gets very frustrated when people don't get along with him, you know, or don't agree.
Or he doesn't get his own way.
He doesn't get his own way, and he gets flustered, he gets upset. So this is why the other side says, you know, where's the adult in the room?
But how long, astrologically,
right,
can this lockup continue?
Well, what I think is the latest thing that they talk about is he declares a national emergency.
Oh, God.
That allows him to open the government, if it does, and bypasses the Congress. I'm not 100% sure they're debating that. Then he looks like a kind of temporary victor because all the people want to get their money. So it could, you know, it could happen in the next few days. It could happen next week.
Yeah, but to basically put the country under what? Martial law?
No. Well, I don't think the national emergency. What I keep hearing, the latest I heard, is that he gets the Army Corps of Engineers or they move around some kind of money thing. That's what's been happening through the Pentagon. And that he doesn't actually necessarily create a wall, but he gets to reopen the government with the potential of, if the courts allow the national emergency to go through X number of weeks or months away, then he either is victorious or not, but he gets to reopen the government, you see, and becomes a temporary savior.
Well, if it doesn't work, Mark, it could destroy his presidency when he's up for re-election.
Risk. I agree with you. It's a big risk, but, you know, as we hear about a year ago, there was he's supposed to be the big deal maker. This is the big thing.
The art of the deal.
So the thing was, a year ago, they had the whole thing with the Dreamers, and they were offering $25 billion. The thing I want to say is, what's absurd in all this is 1 point something million or 5 million is a trickle. I mean, in the black budget that everybody knows exists, a secret budget, I mean, there's millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars if we need to use it for whatever. So the whole point of whether we could afford it or not is ridiculous. You know what I mean? I mean, the Democrats could easily just say, fine, let's reopen and here's X number of dollars. I mean, but they just don't want to do it.
They don't want the border wall.
They want to maintain the fact that they won the House. They want to do their various investigations in the different committees with impeachment, wherever it's going to go. They want the Mueller report to come out and so on and so forth. But we'll see where all that goes. I mean, it's a battle. I do believe, like I said before, John Roberts and the Supreme Court. Here's the other thing. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, right? They were placed on there through the conservative group basically to reassure the president and the White House that he would win out pretty much in the Supreme Court. He wouldn't be asked to, you know, have to go to a grand jury or subpoena. I think what's going to happen here, I mean, this is, I'm not going to predict it, but this is my observation. John Roberts and the court have to one time do the Nixon-Clinton thing. I'm not saying it'll be 9-0. It might be 7-2. But that one time Gorsuch and Kavanaugh have to say, who are we really allied with? Are we allied with the president or the Supreme Court and the nation? They have to come up with
exactly
a different thing one time. I mean, Trump can win on a whole bunch of other things, but I don't think he's going to win on that. And that will be a rude awakening, and that will lead to the whole constitutional thing of where we're going to go down the road.
Do you see any worldwide crises in 2019 that could pull us into another war somewhere?
Well, you know what it is that we have what's called astrocartography or astrolocality. So I'm always watching, like, if we know the birth time of anyone, okay, particularly the president of the United States, we can plot that person's sun, moon, Mercury, Pluto, whatever it is, to see in the Middle East or on the Korean Peninsula, wherever it may be, what's going on that's permanent in their life, and then we can overlay a new moon, a full moon, like we're going to have a total solar eclipse in the southern hemisphere. You've probably read a lot about it in Chile and Argentina off the southern, you know, American.
Hold on for a second, Mark. We're already at the break. We'll come back and talk more about some world events. There's a story breaking about strange radio signals from space. I want to get your take on that, too, and then we'll take calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Astrologer Mark Lerner, our special guest tonight, will take calls with you next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Lots to talk with him about. Well, let's talk about our two shows coming up as well. Everett, Washington and Columbus, Ohio. That's right. Get ready. March 23rd, Everett, Washington at the historic Everett Theater. Now, during these live events, we've got special guests, audience participation, there's music, there's all kinds of great things. Then after the event, we have a meet and greet where we meet everybody, and it's really a great, fun time. You can get your tickets by going to events right at the top of the homepage at coasttocoastam.com, or in the highlight reel, one of the last buttons you click will open up the link to the theater, and you can get your tickets that way. If you don't have a computer, for the Everett show on March 23rd in Everett, Washington at the historic Everett Theater, you can call 425-258-6766, 425-258-6766. Then Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, May 11th at the Lincoln Theater in Columbus, a renovated theater, looks great. The event, of course, will last, 3-plus hours, then the meet and greet after that, and you'll enjoy that one with the special guests we've got, too. Get your tickets same way at coasttocoastam.com in the events, or call their ticket center at the Lincoln Theater at 614-469-0939. That's 614-469-0939. And we are back with astrologer Mark Lerner. Mark, we were talking about any conflicts that you might see in 2019, and I'll let you pick that back up again.
Well, you know, people talk about a blue moon, which is like a second full moon in the same sign. And March 20th, which is the spring equinox, not too far away either, we have a full moon where the sun is in Aries, the first fire sign, and the moon is in Libra. But then before we leave Aries, we get another full moon at the end of the sign, which is April 19th. Does that date ring a bell historically for you, April 19th?
April 19th.
1775, Battle of Lexington and Concord.
No, I wouldn't have gotten that one. That you would have gotten me on, teacher.
Well, I guess we'd say positively. I mean, like, there was a victory at Concord that day, but that preceded by a year and a couple of months the actual July 4th event. And one of the great astrologers, Jim Lewis, who was the main inventor of astrocartography, used to feel that was like an extremely significant birth chart for the United States, because it was the first real battle between America and Mother England. But then we unfortunately had Waco in 1993, ended at that point on April 19th, and the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. So I'm a little bit concerned we get, you know, people will say, oh, fun, you know, another full moon in Aries, but the dates when they fall on, if they're on intense anniversaries, because full moons, again, are heightening of energies, they can be very illuminating for people who are meditating and working in spirituality. But as I brought up before about the total lunar eclipse in this article I just put out tonight, you know, in the ancient world, shamans and astronomers, astrologers, and magi were very fearful of total lunar eclipses because, of course, well, they didn't know exactly how it all worked out, that the Earth's shadow was gobbling up the moonlight.
Yeah, they didn't know what was happening, right?
But that's what brought up the whole thing about shape-shifting and werewolves, because the Earth itself goes, like, remember what happened in the big total solar eclipse in August of 2017, and the eerie kind of feelings that people have, even for a couple of minutes. In the case of a lunar eclipse, it lasts a lot longer. It affects pretty much half the planet. So lunar eclipses are far more significant in terms of what humanity has experienced. Total solar eclipses are only where they actually occur on strong, you know, on narrow bands. And so it's really the lunar energy. That's why the moon is so influential in lore and mythology. And that's where we get the whole idea of lunacy, that people would sort of get psychologically disabled. And in fact, we know, I read books on this a long time ago about the moon. Fire departments, you probably know this, police departments.
Oh, they get more calls than any time period.
And it's also not just the full moon or the eclipse. It's a day or two before, a day or two after. By the way, astrometeorology about weather is a big part of astrology in the ancient world. And, you know, I know you're connected to St. Louis a lot. I don't know if the forecast is still there. But yesterday on national news, they're talking about that a big snowstorm.
Five to seven inches. I hope I can get out of here.
Well, here's the deal. I wanted to bring this up. In a few hours, we get the annual Sun-Pluto conjunction in astronomy and astrology. The Sun, our life force at the center of the solar system, meeting up with a planet that's 3 billion miles away. And it is really a planet, even though the astronomers back in the Czech Republic, I think it was 1996, or maybe
turned it into a planetoid or something.
Yeah, they made it a dwarf planet, but they raised Ceres, the largest asteroid, and said, well, we'll give Ceres rising up instead of a motion like Pluto. But Pluto and the Sun together, that's happening in a couple hours, and over the weekend, we get the Moon with Mars. And Sunday, there's a whole bunch of things, including a quarter moon. The reason I bring this up is we have astrology all the time. I mean, day after day. And all the people, everybody has a chart. Everybody has much more than their sun, the moon in a person's chart, Mercury, Pluto, all the planets, all the signs around the zodiac are in everybody's birth chart. So this may be a new thing for some of the listeners. You're not just a sun sign Leo or a sun sign Taurus. All the planets are significant, which is why eventually people need to really study it, find out what time they're born and where they're born, and just invest a little time and energy in sort of learning about astrology, finding out, reading good books and things like that.
Are you saying the snowfall is not going to happen out here?
I'm saying if you and I talk about it and we ask everybody out there, maybe St. Louis will be okay.
All right, just enough to get the runways clear so we can get out of here and be on our way. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, at any rate, I wanted to bring up about, because people sort of casually think, oh, a blue moon, we've got two full moons, but it's more serious than that. So that is happening March 20th, first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, a full moon. And in mundane or world astrology, which I'm a part of, anything that happens on the first day of the season, the first day of the following 3 months, creates a kind of intense wave. So the spring equinox in those 3 months, we talked about the president, we talked about the constitutional crisis, I mentioned the Supreme Court. So the fact that the spring, which will go all the way through June 20th until the summer solstice, it's a big springtime. And then June 21st, the summer solstice, the planet Neptune is not moving. And Neptune as an outer planet, and this is within about an hour and 18 minutes of the summer solstice. And Neptune is a planet on the shadow side that can create confusion and chaos and nebulous conditions. On the positive side, it's inspirational, it increases psychic sensitivity, but it's also mass consciousness. And this is also why I was saying we're going to have something really big happen between the government, the Supreme Court, the constitutional crisis, the battle between the president and the Congress and all that. It is definitely going to happen. You can't just create a national emergency or whatever. We're going to have all these things unfolding. And by the way, the previous article that I wrote is about New Year's charts. Every New Year, when everyone in the world is basically saying the same question, you know, what will the New Year bring? That goes back to what we might call horary astrology. It's an ancient astrology, the astrology of the hour, where we're asking sort of to the universe what will happen, and you can draw up a chart for each locality. Washington, D.C., or the capital of any country, and then look at the chart. And this year, Mars entered Aries, which is its home sign, bringing up all this fire and intensity for the whole world in 2019. And the Sun is with Saturn, which is the opposite, kind of conservative, being cautious, being careful. So it's kind of a battle between Earth and fire for the whole year.
Mark, how do you see the economics for 2019? I mean, the stock market's been taking it on the chin lately.
Well, what's interesting, I was just looking at some, there's a great book that I've had for many years called Time and Money, The Astrology of Wealth. It's kind of, to me, a Bible that I look at every so often. It's by a wonderful professional astrologer named Barbara Koval. But she wrote it in 1993, so it's 25 years. I don't know if there's a new edition, but that's what it's called, Time and Money, The Astrology of Wealth. She goes into things about the stock market, about real estate, about gold and silver and all that stuff. What's interesting is, at 1993, we had no cryptocurrencies, okay? This is a totally new thing. And what I want to bring up here, and this has been a series of my articles, there's what's called a great mutation cycle. This lasts 794 years, okay, George? Every almost 800 years, Jupiter and Saturn, the two largest planets, are in different signs of the zodiac, but they go in different elements. So, for instance, since 1841 until almost now, we've had Jupiter and Saturn in Earth signs, okay? Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, the cycle kept repeating every 20 years, but now we're going to enter the air mutation in 2020 in December for the next like 180 to 200 years. And air represents things like cryptocurrencies, of things that have to do with buying things on credit. It's more of brotherhood and sisterhood. It's more group reality. It's more of like people learning to sort of live under new circumstances. And it's completely different than the big banks. And, you know, that's why we had the whole crisis 10 years ago, to sort of teach us we're moving into a completely different epoch.
Mark, since you've been doing this, and you've been doing it for a long, long time, you've seen trends, ups and downs. Where are we now in terms of a trend?
Well, that's why, you know how the whole thing, I mean, this used to be straightforward, but now in the Trump era, where every day is like 50 days of events, we would normally say the market hates uncertainty, right? Remember that whole thing?
Yep.
Well, I mean, when have we had 1 minute since the president has been in power, 1 minute of one day or one day out of 1 week where there isn't gigantic uncertainty? There's like 15 things all the time. And so we've seen the market boomerang back and forth. So what was it in the last 2 weeks? They were making big deal. We had the worst December, remember, right before right before the new year, until like the last day or two.
And then it popped again.
And then it popped, because where we are is greed versus fear. It's the same old thing, because the president keeps talking about things like the market has never been that high. Okay, and this is an important thing. In numerology and in astrology, the whole thing about quantity versus quality. Numbers have qualities. This is like goes back to the whole idea of Pythagorean numbers. The number one is not one apple or one book or one house. It's the concept of oneness. This is what they studied in the Pythagorean Brotherhood Fellowship back in 500 BC. This is where we got the whole idea of the harmony of the spheres. It was sort of an ancient, you know, connection to astrology on a spiritual level. And I work with that all the time, with the quality of these forces. So when I look at the stock market, for instance, right now, Venus and Jupiter are in Sagittarius. They're both rising ahead of the sun, and that's a bullish tendency for the moment. And you see how like the market keeps responding and going back up, because they want something that's hopeful. They don't want there to be a catastrophe.
Oh no, nobody does.
Right. However, there's so much catastrophic, and the word is interesting, both the word disaster and catastrophe came from the idea of going against the stars, because they have the word aster in there, which is goes back to the idea of a star. That's where you get the words disaster and catastrophe. So the thing is that it feels to me as if there is a catastrophe, like this national emergency. You know, the president, the other thing, the big three in his life is winning, okay, huge things, and debt. Remember, he always talks about, I'm the master of debt. Okay, this is a big thing for him.
He seems proud of it.
He's proud of it, and look at where the country is. So this inflated notion, this idea that everybody should be happy, that he will say, why are you not happy? The stock market has never been at 24,000, because it isn't a quantity, okay? It's a quality. That's why, like, if everyone's invested in the market, it doesn't matter whether it's 500,000. If it then goes down a whole lot by percentage, everyone gets screwed, you see? So it doesn't matter whether it's at 24,000 There was that fellow who wrote a book a number of years ago where it never happened, Dow 36,000. And I remember reading something by the guy. Now it's his prediction is almost coming true. It's just the guy who wrote about Dow 36,000 was like 10 years ago.
What about any global catastrophes in 2019? Anything on the horizon?
You know, the thing is, that would happen. I often remember my dreams. I kept a dream notebook. You know, I studied Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet. I mean, he was a big influence in all the books and everything about Atlantis and about the story of Jesus and everything. And he would interpret everybody's dreams. He was America's Sleeping Prophet. So everything that is connected back to Virginia Beach, if it happens, I will often have a dream about it. Okay, and so I have not had one of those dreams, and unfortunately, I'm a kind of eternal optimist. So you had Gordon Michael Scallion on for many years, the whole idea of, you know, America, sort of the West Coast. We wouldn't even be talking right
huge
now.
Huge earth changes. Huge.
Had he been correct. Now,
well, Cayce had a map, too, and was very similar to Scallion's.
Future map of America. Now, the thing is, and I don't, you know, look, up here in the Northwest, they're even more worried. There's a lot of stuff about Mount Rainier, which was the beginning of the whole UFO movement 2 weeks. That was the Arnold sighting of the UFOs, which is where we got flying saucers. That's Mount Rainier. And there are news stories about volcanic activity and what's under the earth, and we're due in the Pacific Northwest. So it's not just California. But we're all still living out here. I think everybody is sort of feeling if it happens, it happens. This is why I've incarnated this time to have whatever it's going to be. Because look what's happening in Oklahoma. Look what's happening in some of these other areas.
Earthquakes.
Yeah, and the whole idea with fracking and other things, and people are worried, you know, you start sort of fooling around with things you're not supposed to be fooling around with. And any area, you know, is prone to. And also, the thing about between the one thing I feel is that we shouldn't be arguing about whether there is or is not warming of the planet or who's responsible. The fact is that the planet is warming, but
regardless of why.
Regardless, it doesn't matter. Like, we shouldn't be debating and arguing whether it's, you know, different kinds of things of, you know, air conditioning.
Or a cycle.
Right, because we will never really prove to anybody's satisfaction what it is, and certainly we're not going to get all of Tesla's electronic cars to replace all the regular cars. It's not going to happen, you know, at least for a very, very long time, so it is what it is. But, you know, nevertheless, there are things that we can agree upon. I don't, right at this moment, see anything on my radar, but doesn't mean that something... Let me put it this way. If something comes up, I'll send in a message, and then we'll go from there.
Well, what would make things change? Aren't they set in stone?
No, I don't. You see, this is the whole – I brought up Edgar Cayce. You know, he would say things like mind is ever the builder. And this whole idea in astrology – see, this is the problem why a lot of people who are religious – you know, they will say astrology, I don't even want to go near that because it's all fated. I don't believe in fate. You know, I have my own life to live and so on. So what it is like – a person is born with a chart. The country has a chart. When you start a job, there's a chart for that. However, there's the free will. The best way to put it is we can't control what happens to us, George, but we can always control our response to what happens to us. So a birth chart or the cycles I talk about, like this total lunar eclipse, okay, it's powerful. A lot of people could freak out. People often don't do very well during a total lunar eclipse. Other people will deliberately meditate because they want to use that as a high time because the moon is filled with light. But it, particularly a lunar eclipse, the light disappears for, you know, X number of minutes or hours, and people can often freak out. That's why you have fire departments and, you know, police departments and everybody else on alert.
Well, that's absolutely true. Mark, have you ever seen a time period that seems so confusing as an astrologer?
Well, you know, I would love to investigate things like the previous air mutation, this thing I brought up that for the next 200 years, the rest of the 21st century, starting in 2 years into the 22nd century, is about a 200-year cycle that repeats what happened in the 1200s and the 1300s, which basically we had Marco Polo, we had the beginning of guilds, we had crafts people who were not just building cathedrals in local places, but it was sort of a spreading of information ideas. But there was also the Black Plague in 1347 for a couple years, and I was reading recently tens of millions of people died because they couldn't They didn't know what it was. They couldn't control anything. So in the midst of all that, just like if we're moving into an air cycle, that means breathing. That means CDC.
Interesting.
That means those kind of things. And this whole thing about truth, when Giuliani said, well, there is no truth, when he came out with these things, by the way, he's a Gemini too. So you got all these Geminis, and they're not always like you are on the up level that's intuitive and clear, you know, in terms of bringing through the light.
All right, hold on, Mark. We're at the top of the hour already. We'll come back and talk more. I've got to ask you about the UFOs, and then we'll take phone calls. What we need from you is your birth month, day, and year.